To most of the world, the American guitar genius Jimi Hendrix seemed to appear out of nowhere when he first caught on in England. The real story, of course, is different. He spent years on the Chitlin' circuit, taking any job he could get, and recording with whoever he could, before being discovered and whisked off to London. A new legacy box, West Coast Seattle Boy, has recently been issued with 4 CDs and a DVD, covering material from throughout his career. Much of its music has been available only on bootlegs. The first CD will surprise many fans. It shows Jimi Hendrix as sideman to a number of artists. Rock historian Ed Ward has a review.
One afternoon in the mid-60s, I was on McDougal Street in Greenwich Village and heard some music coming out of the Gaslight Club. I stuck my head in to see a band doing a sound check and recognized John Hammond and his black backup band, all wearing suits. The guitarist played his instrument upside down, but it was too loud for me, and anyway, they weren't open yet and someone chased me away. That was the one time I saw Jimi Hendrix. He was with his band, Jimmy James and the Blue Flames, who did recording or backup work. They also played clubs as themselves, and a few months later were doing just that, across the street from the Gaslight at the Café Hua, where Chaz Chandler, former bassist for the Animals, caught their show and asked the guitarist if he'd like to go to England with him. It was the end of 4 years' struggle for Hendrix, one which started when he and his friend Billy Cox got out of the Air Force in 1962 and went to Nashville to find work. Cox did okay, but Hendrix was too odd for the local scene, although he got some club work. In 1963, he said goodbye to Cox and headed to Harlem, and eventually hooked up with a band from New Jersey.
I'm a freak for music. It's in my soul. I can't help it if it moves down to my toes. I said I'm a witness. I'm here to testify.
The Isley Brothers were from Teaneck and had had a huge hit in 1962 with Twist and Shout. Their gospel-soaked performances made them favorites on the road, and Jimmy joined their road band early in 1964 after recording the epic Testify, which featured his unbridled guitar playing. It didn't sell, and when the Isleys' tour hit Nashville later that year, Jimmy got off the bus and went back to working with Billy Cox. But before that, he'd gotten a chance to lay down a guitar part on what became a smash hit record by Don Covey.
Have mercy.
It's ironic to reflect that when the Rolling Stones recorded this song not long after Covey did, they were playing Jimi Hendrix's guitar parts before anyone in England even knew who he was. From Nashville, Hendrix went to Los Angeles, where he hooked up with a soul singer named Rosalie Brooks and cut a single with her called My Diary, which went nowhere. He hit the road shortly afterwards to join the band of a package tour with Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, and the Valentinos, which was Bobby Womack and his brothers. The tour stranded him in Kansas City, but another band came through and took him to Atlanta, where he wound up backing and recording with Little Richard on one of his most extraordinary singles.
You never treat me kind. You party all the time. You don't mean me no good. I'd leave you if only could. Baby, I don't know what you got. Honey, I don't know what you got. But it's got me. I believe it's got me.
I'm not sure how that session happened, but the second voice there is Don Covey. Life in Little Richard's band was hard, and although the single did okay, the star was past his prime commercially. Hendrix wound up back in Harlem and got a call. The Isley Brothers were now signed to Atlantic. Would he like to record with them?
I know you like to dance, but I'll give somebody else a chance. I'd like to express myself. Get back, you're ruining my health. Oh, move over. Let me dance. I need some room so I can really, really work out now. Oh, but if you don't move over, then I can't dance.
Only one single came out of it, Move Over and Let Me Dance, which shows signs of Hendrix's emerging style, and the deep gospel Have You Ever Been Disappointed, where Jimmy channels Curtis Mayfield's reverb-drenched playing. And someone at Atlantic remembered the guitarist's phone number because in August 1965, not long after the Isley session, he was asked to do a guitar part for a single by Ray Sharp, a Houston-based soul singer who was recording for Atlantic.
This feeling out. Very easy, all you gotta do is follow me. I want you to clap your hands.
Some singles for a New Jersey-based producer followed. Tours with Joey D and the Starlighters and King Curtis kept a few dollars coming in. And whenever he could get booked, there were those Jimmy James and the Blue Flames gigs. Then, in January 1967, came a single, Fire, recorded in London, and the world changed.